What was this woman's attitude about the possibility of being treated with intensive chemo?
She didn't want intensive chemo at all. It was actually pretty straightforward. You have a long conversation about, you know, just make sure you're sure about this. Because when you step away from that, two things play into the decision making. One is, yes, I can get you into remission with less intensive therapy. With what looks like P53 mutant disease here, your likelihood of doing it is no better, but actually probably not any worse with low intensity therapy, but the durability is not good. And so if we look at patients who've had venetoclax, azacitidine, or even just azacitidine alone, we do get these patients into remission. There is some regularity with it, but it's not a high likelihood of remission. It's certainly not higher than we see with induction therapy. There was an interesting article from the WashU group looking at 10 days of decitabine and arguing that should be the standard for patients with P53 mutated AML. But there's actually a difficulty replicating that result in both our experience and other centers. And I have not been swayed by that study to say that should be our standard for everybody. I tend to use venetoclax plus azacitidine here because we could achieve faster results, do it largely in the outpatient setting, and with relatively little toxicity other than myelosuppression. Again, with the risk of TLS in the first week of therapy in a few patients, but not a lot. But the problem with this therapy is the relapse rate is still very high. And when patients relapse, we don't really have good options there. Now, you could use that to be a reason to switch to a more intensive approach. But I don't think we have the data now to say that's better than just using intensive therapy from day one. We also don't have any head-to-head studies of intensive therapy versus venetoclax-based therapy to say what's the right answer. I think in the future, we're hoping to have data like that after we get data of even just azacitidine alone plus venetoclax versus azacitidine alone. Those data are expected soon.
I'm curious, though, the fact that she has this thought about chemotherapy being something she wants to avoid. How much of that was because of having a negative experience in the past? Was that the reason? Did she have a difficult time the first time?
So there were certain toxicities of the therapy she was trying to avoid. And not everybody has experienced this. So if you think of how, you know, AC plus radiation is tolerated, most women do get through it. It's not easy, but they get through it. What we outline in terms of what intensive therapy and transplant is just another order of magnitude for those patients. Plan on a month in the hospital for the therapy. With these genetics, the likelihood of going into remission is on a good day about 30 to 40%. So the majority of patients will get that therapy. They may need 2 months in the hospital because we check a marrow partway through and we say, well, we haven't cleared out the blast. We need to give you another round of treatment. That means 2 months in the hospital, only to find that it didn't work in the majority of cases. And if it works, we then line them up for a transplant, another month back in the hospital, about 6 months of immunosuppression, all the risks associated with that, a high likelihood of relapse before the transplant or after the transplant, all the risks of transplant, including graft versus host disease, serious infections, other complications, and it's just more than some patients want to go through. So I respect that. I think you have to talk to patients frankly about the real risks of therapy because there are alternatives. Unfortunately, I think for this type of disease, there's not a good option for people who choose non-transplant therapy. So you really need to make sure that if they say, I don't want the heavy-duty induction, that they're really doing it for the right reasons.